Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمداً عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم everyone. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Kareem Hamid. And anyone who was thinking, where is Martha Nyla at this hour? 7 p.m. sharp. I was looking forward to it. And let me tell you, time just kept on walking while I thought I had time to keep on working. Praise be to Almighty God, though, when we can help someone in need. I do home health care, and my little lady, 97 years old, I believe. But nonetheless, Almighty God is so bountiful, and such blessings come in ways that we can never imagine. So thank Allah for everyone being here, and welcome to Here Meaning Community Developmental Stages. Wow. For me, journeying has been like not just being in transportation, journeying in my mind and thinking where I've been, what transpired in everything that I could remember, what transpired during the time that I can, during the time of my thinking of those eventful moments in my life, and you know, the influential people, how the time brought about certain demands, especially if you were in college and you had to write a paper, or you were pregnant, and you had to eat, you had to exercise regularly, you had to read materials that were conducive to another mind being developed. Yes, we, in the 70s, when I was more, you know, fruitful, praise be to Almighty God, with three sons in the 70s, from 70 to 77. And in that time, it was quite of an event. Many mothers, pregnant women, were either in school when they got pregnant, graduating from high school, and then some were in college. I wanted to go off into the service. And that's where my aspirations were, to be in the Navy. I was okay to go to the Navy or to the Air Force. And I was hearing different things, you know, street people telling you things about what they've heard or what they've read about. If you go into this particular force, armed force, the women are like this. You know? So praise be to Almighty God. So I decided Air Force. And because I wanted to be an airline stewardess. But here we are. Events took place. A child was born. And then my husband went into the service in the Air Force instead. So none of, you know, we received the benefits nonetheless. And the government was giving that temp VA insurance, which meant that I don't know whether it was an allotment, but wives were sent, given a monthly amount, like I can't even remember how much it was, but it was enough to that I didn't have to work, all right? And praise be to Almighty God. So I babysat my and my sister's children. And so at different times I would have up to 9 children with me. And go on certain in Pompano Beach, Florida. And I'm sharing this because that's what our memory does for us. It serves us when we call upon it. It serves us, especially the long-term memory. And I think doctors were wondering, why is it that our short-term memory is not as available as accessible as our long-term memory at times? Now, I think we take our short-term memory for granted. So I'm going to go to Quran, read from Quran, and remind everyone, all of us, that we are in the womb of 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiatives. CWSC, Community-Wide Sure Conference. And so, you know, tonight, community developmental stages. So whatever stage we are in individually and whatever stage we are in community-wise, you know, neighborhood, really reflecting and respecting people that are in the neighborhood, those that have a house or not, or a roof over their head, or, you know, a physical roof structure that we build, or not. Those who are just out under the stars, the clouds, the sky, the stars, in the natural habitat with the animals and the insects. The animals roam, the dogs, the cats. I don't dare say rats, but yes, rats as well. Squirrels. I don't know where squirrels go at night. I know where some possums and raccoons tend to go. Raccoons really would look for your shelter, your roof. If you don't have if you have an opening anywhere, that raccoon is going to find a way to get in there. Possums, I've seen them up in the tree, on a tree branch, snug as a bug in a rug. But, hey, so people are out there, too, sleeping in the thicket of bushes or palmettos or whatever roadway they could find, a little crevice and sleep. We'll have a cardboard box, sleep on it, or keep it square and put the head up in it, especially if it's drizzling rain or a little cold, or and they sleep near I know here in Florida, when it's cold, the heat does come up out of the sewer thing. And I said, wow. And I know it does up north. So being thankful, respectfully using our memory, and so we can appreciate where we are, appreciate who we are, whoever we are, whether we are in Iceland right now, Greenland, whether we're in Norway, Sweden, Nova Scotia, Australia. And then there are scientists that are out in Antarctica, and they're studying how they haven't discovered any life, but they're striving to, they're working on seeing how long a human can make Antarctica a habitable region. But in the meantime, we are using the usefulness of the resources of six continents. Studies are, well, there'd be a lot of undiscovered things, information, and otherwise, long after we are gone. Okay, so let's get started with Quran. And at any time, you know, community developmental stages, our mind is the most precious, precious, precious thing that we have. All of our body parts, but definitely our mind. I used to read the sign that says, a mind is a terrible, listen to it now, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I'm going, that doesn't sound right. Because it's indicating that the mind is a terrible thing. And I said, no, it's a terrible thing to waste our mind. So, praise be to Almighty God. At any time, you can press 1 on your phone. And I would love bringing you into the conversation. I'm going to go to the set to the Quran. All right, we have 636 pair. There, I can open your mic. Assalamu alaikum, Kareem Hamid. Come on down.
Wa alaikum assalam, Martha. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. You know, throughout the Quran, Allah uses the phrase for us, dhikr, to think.
Mm-hmm.
Think. And there's another form of the word of dhikr. It is kathara. And kathara translates into remember. You know, memory is a wonderful, valuable gift that Allah has given the human being. We learn from memory, past experience. We remember them, and periodically we have to remember now what happened to you last time, you know. We learn. Thank you to Allah. My daughter called me one day last week, and I could tell she was kind of upset. She wasn't at herself. She felt kind of depressed and down. And I could tell, I said, What's wrong, honey? I'm all right. No. We ain't going. Come on. You know, I can read you and you can read me, you know.
Uh-huh.
She said, well, I've been holding this in for a long time. She said, Daddy. I said, what? I don't know what I would do without you. I don't know what I would do without you. And I said to her, if I can't control, I don't control life and death. She said, yeah, I know. She said, but you mean so much to me. I don't know. I said, look, maybe this may help. You can call me to your mind anytime you want to. And you will actually visualize some of the jokes we've had and the funny stuff we do, and all of a sudden you'll start laughing. Yeah, that is something else, you know? I said, and if you notice, when we have large family gatherings, the main subject matter, the main topic is my father. She said, yep, no doubt about that. So we live on in the lives of those that we leave behind, you know. You can call me forward at any time you want, you know, the same way that we do with our father, our mother, my brother Eric, you know. So memory is a wonderful, blessed gift that Almighty God gives us, is memory. We can recall. And it's almost like you're right in that same environment and in front of that person. So, yeah, and also, you know how they say Methuselah lived 1,000 years.
Uh-huh.
lived 1,000 years. But Imam Muhammad shared with us, he said, look, that time frame is synonymous to how long that person's effect stayed with the community that they live in, you know? So that memory and influence is very important, praise, because it's a mercy, for real. It's a mercy. I can recall my mother. I can recall my father anytime I want to. And recall. And we thank a lot for memory. It's a very valuable tool. We learn through memorization, something you may have read or heard or lecture or whatever, and you remember. That's how we learn. And Almighty God says to us, a man is a most forgetful, contentious creature. That's why in the Quran, he repeats himself over and over again, utilizing different framework scenarios. He is reminding us, which is a wonderful gift that Almighty God gave us, memory. How can I say, in relationship to each other? I've only saw you once physically. But I remember, you know, I remember when we were in camp. You know what I'm
saying?
Yes, Latifa Hameen. I can remember that and bring back the joy of those times. So I'll stop right there. But memory is the most valuable, most precious gift that Almighty God has given us. And we thank him for it. I'll stop right there, my. Thank you. Absolutely.
Praise be to Almighty God for your sharing in that, sharing with us how we're using our memory and how we, you know, we think, as I stated, the short-term memory seems not to be available at some time, but that's only sometimes because we use our short-term memory so much. I guess we wear it out.
Where did I put my shoes? Where's the
remote? What was I about to do?
Yeah, walk in a room. Stop. what did I come in here for? Wait a minute. Yeah. I've experienced that. crazy to Allah.
Yeah.
But in time,
and I say, wait a minute.
Yeah. I used to say, well, it would really puzzle me. Now, where did I put such and such? And I'm looking up under the love seat, the couch. But then I learned to do this, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You will walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't hold you, but you mentioned a very, very, very valuable gift that Allah has given us, the ability to remember. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Marvin.
You're more than welcome. Alaykum as-salam. And everyone, as we're going to go to Surah 15 right now. Surah 29 references the memory as well by the recitation of Quran and remembrance of Allah at all times, never putting a partner with Allah. And 15, ayat 9 references, I think Surah 15 is, we're going to go there, is Surah Al-Hijr, I believe that's right after Ibrahim. Let's see here. 15, yes, Hijr. And Hijr, you get it, Hajr, Hijra, Hajar, yes. The rock, the black, I'm thinking of the darkness, you know, like you're in the pit of the night and the only light is in our mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the remembrance to our mind in the pitch darkness. We have to remember how the room was. If your light went out in your home and you had to immediately think, where am I? Because you don't have the light. Now you have to move about in that dark. Your mind is the light, because it's going to bring to your memory, praise be to Almighty God, where everything is situated. In the light, we take it for granted, and we see things, and we still bump into things. I bump into walls, I tell you, knowing the wall is not going to move. I'm just going to step over into a plant or tree, you name it, and I can see it. Let the light go out, like we had the eclipse. Let that light go out and let it stay out some time that we will have to move about. And in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referenced that Allah can snatch away the light. When the light is there, we walk therein. Remember that? And when the light is not there, what do? We stand still. But the knowledge of where we are and what we're doing will cause us to begin to feel our way. Be to Almighty God. I'm sure persons who've had sight, physical eyesight, and then not have it now or less of it, is totally relying on the light of their mind, the memory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Oh, Almighty God, is so precious. All right, so let's go to 15:9, okay, everyone? Yusuf Ali's rendering, inshallah. Surah Al-Hijr, that's the Ha, the Jin, and the Ra. Hajj, I'll just leave that alone. Then 15:9. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا نحن نزلنا سبحان الله إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون صدق الله العظيم. That's 15:9. And Yusuf Ali's renderers, as we seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. we have, comma, without doubt, comma, sent down the message, comma, and we will assuredly guard it, in parentheses, from corruption. Now, and you may say, well, that doesn't say anything about the memory. Think about it. Yeah, think about it. The message. How will we know what the message is? Ah, yes. What is the message? Whatever the message is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, sent it down upon, when we say the heart of this particular Quran, upon the heart of Muhammad. Where was the heart? A heart. It says the mind has a heart, and the heart has a mind. Different times we'll say, wow, my heart, I'm thinking with my heart. Let me think with my mind, using my mind. And then it says, at the heart of my thoughts, at the center of my thinking, the heart of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the capability to remember Muhammad's capability to Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And not only to Muhammad did the message come down to, it came, a message came to Ibrahim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A message came to the prophets that we name one by one, the character of them all. When the message came, now that the message is here with us, it doesn't come and then go into the wind, never to be remembered. We intentionally want to remember it. So when we're using our memory, our mind, and the category, I'm seeing the mind, and then there are different departments in the mind, responsibility of those different departments. So in our stages of development, stay connected with me now. In our stages of development, we remember and we build upon that memory to take us to the next stage or level of development. And it continues in that process. Now, who patterned us to be in that way? Allah. I'm saying Allah, but to whomever is listening, whatever label, name you've given to the one that has created everything and is, as we just read, and is guarding it, and no partners, whatever label you use, that label, that which you believe in, trust, have faith now, does not have any partners, which has come through the time. Now, how did that message travel through time? As Kareem was just saying, from one person to another person to another person to another person. And when we are at certain stages of mental development, then we're able to categorize information, savor it, put it where it will become our long-term memory. It will become archived. And when we call upon it, it comes racing right back to us like it was just there yesterday. So praise be to Almighty God for this time. Let's see if we have any persons who pressed one. We appreciate everyone who's here. Yes, do we? Press one and come back in. But if should anyone have had your hand up and I didn't see it, because I was on another screen. No, nonetheless, that's unnecessary information, right? Right. Oh, Lord, too much information. Okay, here we go. Kareem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know, Allah says that he has placed angels over the Quran to guard it. And we know angels are the hidden forces in the creation. Like we just mentioned, memory. I can't pull memory out of my head and store it to someone. I can't. You know what I'm saying? No, it's, but I can't describe it. It's not a tangible thing. But when Allah says that, I read along with you. We have without doubt sent down the message, and we were assuredly guarded, in parentheses, from corruption. The memory. There are people on this earth that we call Hafiz. They have memorized the whole of the Quran. And if I went to Asia, Bangladesh, Africa, and there are Muslims there, the same Arabia Fusha that is with us here is with them there. And among them are people of excellent memory. And they are Hafiz. Anywhere we go, the Quran would never be lost. Never. Never be lost. So the angels that Allah has placed over the Quran, I venture to say that angel is the unseen entity we call memory. Memory.
Mm.
And we say that Allah, in his first revelation to the human being, no, to our prophet Muhammad, was Iqra. The scholars, they give commentary to Iqra. And some of them have translated it, read. And some have translated it, recite. So we know the Quran did not come down as a physical book with pages that we have here now. We know that. But the Prophet Muhammad was able to recite what Allah had revealed to him. And he shared that recitation with others. They were able to recite. And in time, the recitation was written by scribes. And that is why we have this physical word of Almighty God. But it is that which is to be recited, the recitation of Quran, huh? Right? So memory plays a valuable part in the scripture not being corrupted. It is in its pure state. I'll start right now.
I mean, and how valuable that is when we are awakened and we begin our day. And it says, and give praise to Almighty God for even being brought back into this particular realm of what we call life. And our memory came back with us. Or, I don't know, was it frozen in time, and while we journeyed through the night, while we slept,
I've gone so many places in my sleep, I tell y'all, I don't know. I figured everybody does. Do you, Kareem?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I have. You know, I was an avid reader as a young man, young boy. And through reading, I have traveled across the Gobi Desert in my mind from what I was reading. I have visited parts of this earth that I've never set foot in. But the ability to imagine, to bring an image to your mind and go on that journey, that's another wonderful, mysterious gift that Allah has given us. And it is the property of the mind. Praise be to Allah, the aqua, the brain, the most valuable tool that Allah has given us. So, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. And our dreams, well, good Lord, have you ever dreamed of very rewarding? Oh, boy, you're so glad you found this thing or this here. Here's a bag full of money. Full of money, a duffel bag full of money. And you're excited. You're saying all that you're going to do, and then you wake up. Then you wake up and you want to return back. Uh-oh, my speaker was off. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. My speaker on my phone.
No, we heard you clearly.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, dreams are, and that's another, the dreams is a wonderful gift that Allah has given us. Praise be to Allah. It is wonderful. Even if we have what we call a bad dream. Well, that bad dream just might be a, you know, or whatever. If it's a bad dream and you wake up, the first thing I say is, alhamdulillah, it was just a dream. Woo, it was just a dream. Be to Allah, it was just a dream, you know.
Yeah. Praise be to Allah. And even that goes into our memory. But the selected ones, our selective ones, we remember. I can remember certain dreams from before. I think we had discussion before. Lord, we had this discussion before in reference to dreams. Hold on one moment, please. All right, everyone, I'm back. But yes, in the dream, I'm not going to pretend to know everything that is going on in our mind. We're learning a whole lot about our mind, about who we are. When we say, who are you? Uh-oh, did I turn myself off? No, okay. I'm still here, okay. When we say, who are you? And we give a name, right? And that name embodies a lot of information and actions. That's why when I started off about the actions, the events that have occurred in our life, and like you referenced Texas, and there are so many. We would spend I don't know how long, if everyone on here right now would go through referencing events and their memory and opening it up like it's a book and really sharing it and talking about what influenced them of that particular time. And wow, we would be traveling. We'd travel right along with everyone. And it's this precious mind. So in the midst of our development, I've come 72 years, Kareem. I've come 72 years.
Alhamdulillah.
And I'm wondering, as we say, where did time go?
Yeah.
Some things we suspend the memory of it. We don't want to remember because it was an event that was very distasteful. And we say, you know what, I can't even remember. And I choose not to. And Allah Almighty blesses us with the reward of that, to honor not wanting to remember it.
Mm-hmm. Remember Imam Muhammad said to us when he was speaking to us about New Africa?
Mm-hmm.
What did he close out with? He asked, can't you see it? Can you see
mm-hmm.
it? Can you see it? The gift of imagination can morph into a material reality. To imagine us in a wonderful, productive community environment, community life. Can you see it? If you can see, if your mind can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based in reality. If your mind can see it, your hand can achieve it.
There you go.
Yes. If your mind can see it, your hand can achieve it. That's the truth. Praise be to Allah. That's why Allah tells us, think.
Mm-hmm.
Think, for thinking benefits the thinker. Think. Alhamdulillah. So you have really opened up a wonderful bag of gifts here on the community developmental stages. The ability to imagine possibilities, praise be to Allah, to imagine possibility is an affirmation that you have faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have faith. Though you don't have it, though you don't have that thing, but you can imagine. You can imagine and bring that into reality if it's based on something that makes sense. Yes, but you have to first imagine it. Let your mind accept it. That's first.
Mm-hmm.
Let the mind accept it and then visualize it and get to work and bring about the material reality in
Allah. What was that last part? And get to what?
Work.
Work.
Yeah.
That's when you call on the other members of yourself.
And other people.
Yes.
And for they have imagination too. And we all get together and discuss it. We can imagine. We can imagine. I'm quite sure New Medina was just a thought in someone's head. New Medina.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a reality now. Others imagine that same thing, and they brought it into physical reality. That's a wonderful gift God gives us. Memory and imagination. If you can't imagine nothing, if you don't have no imagination, you have no faith. For faith is the belief in that which you can't quite grasp right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I have faith. I have faith. Praise be to Allah. So imagination goes along. The people say, oh, man, you're always sitting up daydreaming. Yes. About the
say all the possibilities.
That's it. That's it. So praise be to Allah. Very valuable,
what you were introducing, my sister Martha.
Alhamdulillah. I truly pray that that it makes its way, whatever the destiny is for the words that we hear in the 50-year human family strategic planning, that we don't see it now as so far off.
That's right.
The work that it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Praise be to Allah.
Yep.
We're going to go to a public service announcement, everyone. You're listening to Community Martha Naila Abdullah of Community Developmental Stages, and we're all a part of, gifted with the stages of development for our mind, which then calls on the other parts of us that says our the spirit to get things done, and the physical ability, capability, the wherewithal, as Kareem said, use the resources of someone else. Should we not have the physical capability? But we
right.
have that mental and spiritual.
You know, there are people that have, that possess values and gifts that I don't have. I don't
mm-hmm.
know how to wire an 18-story building. I don't know. But I can visualize an 18-story facility. I can visualize that. And sharing that with others. And if they can see it, they have the gift that it would take to bring that about. So this collaboration that we're involved in, this Shura Baina home
mm-hmm.
that we're involved in, the, Allah says to us, wheresoever you are, turn your faces toward this house. Now, and from wherever you may start, whether equipped lightly or heavily, but get started. But keep your character. Let your character reflect the oneness of humanity. That's what the house symbolizes. Don't do it just out of selfish motives. Include others. Share your gifts with other people. But first of all, something the mind has to have the ability to think and to imagine, and then you get the necessary partners that you need. Even parts of yourself you'll call. You'll
mm-hmm.
call to the
mm-hmm.
task. You know, it's right. So when the imam said, can't you see it? New Africa, can't you see it? I'll stop right there.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, yes, yes. As he said, the shea butter, he could see it floating on down. And he was referenced, I think he referenced Big Mama.
The big house.
The Big Mama was the city, the community.
Yeah.
Praise be to Almighty God. Yes, we can see it. And we're going to go to a public service announcement right here, everyone. Please stay with us now on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. We'll be right back.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Peace. Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
But the time now, everyone, is 9:30 to 11, because preparing to make it in the land of plenty, it was discovered that that takes more time, a little more time, to hear from everyone and to really understand preparing to make it in the land of plenty. Now, if you have any comments you'd like to share, please press 1 on your phone, and we would gladly open your mic, all right? All right, at any time. I want to go now. Okay, I'm going to change screens, so I won't see your hand immediately, but I promise I'll be back to it. As we're discussing developmental stages, community developmental stages. And we are a community of self. And then we are a community outside of self. So self, we are involved in it. And all the treasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in the community. Now, I'm sure many of us are drivers. We have our driver's license. We're licensed to drive. Now, when we get in that vehicle, whatever vehicle it is, what do we use in order to utilize that vehicle? I'm sure our memory comes into play. Well, it comes into play. It comes to work. We call upon it unconsciously. From the moment we put the key in the door or we click that click to unlock the doors, and then we enter, we put our body in, whether we sit down first and swing our legs in, or we put one leg in and scoot into the seat, and we're on the side where the pedals are, you know, that gas pedal and the brake pedal, steering wheel is in front of us, and then either there's a hand gear to our right for us to move and to drive, or what if it's automatic, or the hand gear is on the column, the steering column. Or we may have these really electric cars where everything, I haven't been in one, so, I mean, I sat in one, but I didn't turn it on. However it may be, even in the electric cars, in the cars where they say, it's been said that you can be a passenger without a driver, without a physical driver, how is that operating? On memory, a memory chip, studying the human being, well, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being, technology is utilizing, individuals are utilizing that scientific process, and we're beneficiaries of it. So praise be to Almighty God. Asking me if I want to get into a car without a driver, no. No, stand the tracks that are in the streetways for trolleys, for buses that don't have an engineer, that they're on a computerized memory and it travels a certain route and we get on, and we get on with the intent and the expectation to be taken where we're going. And so we memorize the routes that we have to take. But back to being the driver ourselves, we remember the driver's manual and how to be an operator of that vehicle. Memory. In order for us to get from point A to B to Z, wherever, we use our memory. And it's our short-term memory that we're using every moment of the day. So perhaps we wear our short-term memory down so thin till when we see someone who's fidgeting and struggling to remember what was I doing and what the spoon is for and what is the fork for and why what is this sitting in front of me called food? I don't know how to do it anymore. All of those functions are from memory. Some become long-term memory, others remain in the short-term memory zone. Now, I'm sure we all understand that there's time of conflict within our own self. And for those of us who have had situations to arise in our lives and we found ourselves worrying, now we know that takes away from our memory. It interferes with the transaction of our mind, what our mind was made to do, was created to be as a benefit for us. So alhamdulillah, let's see if there's anyone who's pressed one. No? Okay. We'll continue on. And now I'm prayerfully thinking that everyone is understanding, and so you're okay where you are, and you're doing perhaps a memorable job right now, a task, folding, you know, especially if you're doing laundry, how many times we reach into the dryer and pull out the clothing, we began to fold them, or we put them on hangers, or we, whatever it is, we've learned how to do it. And we rely on the washer to have a memory because we put the clothes in there and we turn it to a certain dial and the washer begins to do its thing. So when we're cooking, all of this memory that is present with us. So yes, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present in every part of our life that we reach and benefit from what we're reaching for. Before it came into existence, Allah then made it become a benefit. So there's absolutely nothing we can't be thankful for. So the developmental stages, our mind is being developed, reminded, to rehearse on giving thanks to Allah. My sister and I were, before I go to a reading or sharing something with you, my sister, my nephew, was in the hospital. Let's go back a little bit, and inshallah, I'll get a chance to interview him. He has agreed. I'll give you a little, I think I shared it, but he was 16 years old. He had gotten into a little trouble, but my mother's husband, who was definitely a father to us, was a minister. Minister for years. He raised all of us, let's just tell it like that. And he and my mother went to court with my nephew, and the judge decided to let my nephew stay with them. They said that they would be responsible. Actually, Rev said they would be responsible for him, making sure that he you know, on house probation. Well, eventually he got into some trouble, and in connection with some others, he chose not to share the complete story. I'm sure it was in his mind. When the judge was asking him a question about what took place, he took the rap. He took the full responsibility. And he was 16, so he stayed in jail for 2 years. And at 18, then he was transferred to a facility. While in there, he wouldn't allow himself to be violated by others, so his jaw was broken. Years since, they've had to do surgery on his jaw, a lower part of his jaw where no teeth exist because, you know, the bone, they had to try to reconstructure it and all of that. But he's good. He's served 35 years. There was some time that the papers, his records got lost. The judge transitioned. He passed. And it was kind of hard for the court to really figure out, did the judge mean for him to serve just 25 years? So it took about another 10 years for them to get everything settled. And that 35 years brought him to be 51 years old, which last year he was 51, and he's out. And he really appreciated life, but while he was in those 35 years, he found his memory served him well. His connection with family served him well. He did not hold a grudge for being, for defending himself against being violated. And he was thankful that he connected religiously with grandmother and with his auntie, myself. And so he had that to reference while he was away. Now, as soon as he was out, he dedicated himself to really keeping things clean. That's what he remembered. We were always cleaning up. Toothbrush kind of cleaning everyone, cracks, cleaning the crevices with the toothbrush. So now, because he had the cancer, he developed cancer of the jawbone. Then it moved on into his, I believe, the heart area. But nonetheless, he's been they tested him with some chemo, some reaction to it. And this was just last week. So he called and let me know. He's here in Florida in Fort Myers, living there. Immediately when he called, his mother jumped to it, his sister and my mother my other sister. And I couldn't go, but what did I do? I called upon friends that I know living in Fort Myers to go and visit with him on my behalf. But praise be to Almighty God, the prayers. You know, they couldn't find anything in reference to cancer in his cells. Everything come back negative. His kidneys, his gallbladder, everything as they tested it. And the pain began to dissipate, began to go away. Now, with all family, and this is in connection, too, with 50-year faith and family and our memory and how we're to reverence Almighty God all the time. And so reverencing Almighty God, my sister, you know, his mother and his other aunt, they are praying, my mother praying, myself, we're praying, and he's a prayerful person. So last evening, I was so thankful to hear his voice, and he was so gleeful when he had gotten discharged from the hospital. So praise be to Almighty God. There's not a second, whatever is less than a second, that once we use our voice, use our thinking, that glorifying Almighty God doesn't come into play. It has to. So my sister and I started this conversation because my sister and I were referencing our memory of being raised to believe in Almighty God, put our trust in Almighty God. And because we were, then we referenced, I don't care if the sun is shining and the rain is pouring and we're outside and we get caught in it. Praise God. Our car stops on us. Praise God. We run out of gas or someone runs into us and the car gets demolished and it gets totaled. Praise God. We run out of money. Praise God. Run out of food. Praise God. Every step of the way in our being developed, our mind is to be developed to praise God. That we've established that process of praising God, then God also, in 29, now I'm going to go to 29:45, Surah 29, Anchor Boot, Ayat, instructing signs from Allah. 45. Excuse me. Stay with me here, everyone. Okay. Surah Ankabut. Okay, let me go to the right page here. Yes, here it is. Okay, 29:45. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And this will be Yusuf Ali's rendering as we read. Bear with me. Oh, okay. أتلو ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب ومن الكتاب وأقيم الصلوات إن الصلوات تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تشفعون. Sadaqallahu Azim. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Recite what is sent of the book by inspiration to you and establish regular prayer, for prayer restrains from shameful and unjust deeds. And remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing, thing in life, close parenthesis, without doubt. And Allah knows the, in parenthesis, deeds or that which you do. Praise Sadaqallahu Azim. Surely Allah speaks truth, words are true. And surely our minds are hearing what is being read and the correlation between what we read from 15:9, that was Surah Hijr, Ayat 9, and this is Surah Ankabut, Ayat 45. Remembrance of Allah, remembrance of Allah, remembrance of Allah. And how, what do we remember? How are we remembering Allah? Thinking about the trials, the tests, the actions, the deeds, the events, the times, the influences, everything connected, and it comes forth in our life, and we reference it, and right away, we remember that Allah knows everything. Allah knows the rain is falling. Allah knows that we got caught in it. Allah knows that we left the keys in the car. The keys got locked in the car. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows even for those tragedies that are occurring, the bridges that are collapsing, being hit and then collapsing, the people on the bridge not having one iota of a thought that that would occur. And we who traveled over the same bridges didn't have any kind of thinking that it would occur, as it did not. Hurricanes coming, tornadoes, volcano eruptions, fires. Our memory. Remembering Allah. Press 1 on your phone if you want to share anything that is on your mind, because it will be coming from your thinking. You're using this great gift that Allah SWT has blessed us with and the many functions of it to Allah. This is Community Developmental Stages. I'm Martha Naila Abdullah, and we're now in Community Buzz, and the question is, have you heard? There are so many events that are going on. We want to hear from you, too, about that, because we know that you have events happening in your area. Perhaps some have already occurred. Can you share some highlights about it, your participation with it as such? Not as you're waiting. We're waiting on you. We'll go to share from what we have here at CWSC, that which has been sent in through the email. Thankful for Rashid Tachakort, who was with us this morning on CWSC Friday Roundtable. We know that the Model Community National Resource Directory, Social Connect, is going to be on the last Sunday in this month. Look forward to connecting. We know that your time is precious, and sometimes you don't have the time, so you have to decline. I mean, you choose to decline, and we appreciate your even acknowledging that you can't make it. The Muslim Journal, every Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, 12 p.m., the Muslim Journal, the board meets, and the group, anyone wanting to meet with the Muslim Journal board, you're welcome to do so. That's with Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, president of the board of directors for Muslim Journal. And the phone number is, I'll have to come back to it, and if someone else has it readily accessible, please raise your hand and share. But remind me that I said I will share that number. No one else does, all right? And praise be to Almighty God. Should you know of anyone that group, organization, that is doing great work along with the Muslim community as well, being involved, connected, communicating, and collaborating, we want to know about that. Please share. You know that Study Al-Islam comes on every Sunday, aired here, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our other partner, Graceline, community.org, with the intent to establish a Graceline Federal Credit Union, but there are preparatory steps that they have to take, and they're doing that. So they meet every Sunday, 10 o'clock, and they welcome you to come in and listen, come on Zoom or by phone, and meet and greet the individuals that are facing this task. As we stated, Imam Alvin Sharif will be the next imam to be the khatib for the month of May. out from New Medina. You know that New Medina has this event coming up, and we will be sharing information on that as we receive the flyer. Imam Alvin Sharif, he's looking forward to being our guest on CWSC Friday Roundtable on May 3rd. That's from 8 to 10 a.m., immediately following our hearing the recitation of Suratul Kahf. There's a request being made by M. Gage. They said that the voting is coming upon the legislators to vote for the package deal going to aid going to Israel, and they are making certain recommendations. So if you've received that in your mail, your decision is your decision, all right? Praise be to Almighty God. Let's see here. Omar Shakir of San Antonio, Texas. He's the imam of Bilal Ibn Rabah Islamic Center there in San Antonio, and he is also the convener for the Southwest section for the conveners of imams, and they're going to be having their event on the weekend, April 27th. That's next weekend in Arkansas. Is it Arkansas? Yes. Arizona. I believe it's Arizona. Now I have to get that corrected. Anyone, press your hand if you know, raise your hand if you know exactly when it is. You can get to know our host as a host is acknowledged, two hosts, I think, at a time. Dear Brother Fleming Elamine has been very active with bringing those hosts right before us, getting so we can get to know the voices behind the microphone or behind the telephone that you're using. On Sundays, the second Sunday of the month, then on the third Sunday, as it is coming up, Florida Conference of Muslim Americans. Now, during the month of Ramadan, we didn't bring forth because we were having the Ramadan sessions, and we're thankful that Imam Yahya Abdullah provided that, and Imam certain imams, Imam Abdul Aziz, Imam Yusuf Ramadan, Imam Yahya Abdullah, and Imam Omar Shakir all shared Ramadan sessions. Even Imam Yahya Abdullah shared the sessions every Sunday right here on AM 360. Let's see here. There are many individuals choosing to make Umrah. You have information on Umrah. You're having gone on Umrah, and you've returned, and you want to share the benefits that you declare that you receive. Please share. All right? It helps so many of us when you do that. We know that individuals are sharing about Umrah on Study Al-Islam, and also here on American Muslim 360, we want to know. And those intending to go on Hajj or your preparation for Hajj, please, please share. We thank Almighty God for that. All right, we're going to go to 718-749. My brother in Queens, New York City, William Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my sister. Alhamdulillah, Abdullah. Yes, so just some information. Not sure if everybody heard, but it's important to just find people or to let people know that one of our great imams have transitioned from the state of California, San Francisco, California, Imam Abdul Qadir El Amin. He was a great imam, a great Muslim, a great human being who made a great, a significant contribution with his life, is the way that it can be said. He was a person who I got to meet. I didn't know anyone in the California area, but I was covering Muslim advocates were actually giving an event out in California, and Imam Yusuf Ramadan connected me with Imam Abu Qadir El Amin, and he was so gracious in his time, and he took me all around and told me so many things about San Francisco and the contributions of the Muslim community out there and many of the things that was being done. He also came here to New York, and I had an opportunity. But like myself, I'm sure that there are many who are witnesses to his great work. And we pray that, you know, our Lord will forgive him his sins and favor him with a comfortable space in the paradise for the good work that he did. He was sick for a while. And then eventually, you know, he transitioned. So it was, I think he transitioned yesterday. But, you know, it kind of struck as a personal, it struck me personally because I had, because I knew him, I got an opportunity to, experience his goodness that he shared with me. And even though I didn't see him every week, I wasn't a person who saw him every week, but, you know, just that one time that I went out there and he was so gracious, it always gave me a, you know, a good attitude towards him or for his good. I always remember him for his good. And that's what we should do. We should be remembered with each other for the good that we do for each other, building memories, good memories. And so when the time comes that we go and we transition, that we will have all that is good that we can remember from the human being that was that Allah blessed to be so gracious to us in our lifetime.
Amen. We thank Allah for the essence of and the spirit of our dear brother, as you have expressed. I'm getting to know him through you in the short way right now. And praise be to Almighty God. So yes, had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him his errors and definitely grant him a high station in paradise. And the influence that he had in your life, and I'm sure the many that are in California or elsewhere, as you mentioned, his connection with Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
He was regional. He was the regional representative over there, too. He was also the regional representative over there in California for he was one of the regional representatives over there on the West Coast also for a long time. And we got a lot of imams like Imam Abdul Karim Hassan doing great works out there. And he's been part of our community for eons. I mean, I know over 50 years, over 50, 60, maybe 70 years, you know, he's been a part of our community, serving in positions of responsibility, and others, and many others that are in our community that serve in positions of responsibility and are being sparked to do good. I think on the program this morning that was on American Muslim 360. What was the name of the program this morning on American Muslim 360?
What, the Cultural Insights? Which one?
No, not this morning, Friday morning. What is Friday morning program?
Oh, it's CWC Friday Roundtable.
Friday Roundtable, and I had an opportunity to get on Friday Roundtable along with you. But there was something that was, there was a jewel of wisdom that was dropped, and it had to do with, and this is, brothers and sisters, I just want you to understand that this was something that was said personally by, you know, Martha Nala Williams, but there's a jewel that was in it. And it had to do with her being, when she was younger, you know, being, seeing weeds growing. And, I mean, many a times, you know, we just walk past weeds, but for some reason, these weeds kind of spark something. This is what she told us. This was, it sparked something in her, and she just, you know, it's like, yo, I gotta clear those weeds. She didn't ask her mother, didn't ask her father, just started clearing the weeds. Got a rake and just started clearing the weeds. And even when she was told to stop, you know, keep on going, and she cleared the weeds. And but that was her motivation to do that. It's small. It's small, but, you know, she was motivated to do it. And in motivating her to do it, just that one act of clearing the weeds, from that came a plot of land that they started to grow food from, vegetables and et cetera, et cetera. It became a garden. Because then people could see the potential that was there. That's what I got from it. But that was the spark. That was the start of it all. And if we look back on, I'm going to Imam Abu Qadir al-Amin, there was a spark in his life, I'm sure, that, you know, sparked him to do something that put him on the road to leadership, and then people recognized it and was able to support him. That's what, you know, each of us as individuals, that's what each of us need to do. What is that spark? What is it that will spark us? And that's all it takes. It's just a spark to do something within our family, to do something within our community, to make things happen. That's all it takes. Just a spark. And so we witness people that example that's from Sister Martha, I'm sorry that there were people in her family that were witness that, and as, you know, she did it when she was young, but it's an event that made a big change in their lives. And so it is a story that can continue to be told about that spark to clear the weeds. And then that's a great story for the family to tell. So, and it will be the same thing with us. What is the spark? What is the spark? We're talking about community developmental. What is the spark? Ibrahim W.D. Muhammad has been that spark for us as Muslims here in America. He's been that sparkler. And what is the spark that will push us forward, not only as individuals, but also as family members, and also as members of a community? What is the spark? Are we being sparked to, you know, we always say make contributions, but are we being sparked to make something happen to get things done? I didn't mean to, you know, just go off.
No, that's but necessary. That's great. Keep going.
I'm just saying, but that's where we are today. That's where we are. We don't want to be sparked. We don't want to be motivated. You know, did we have this Quran? And this Quran was given to our prophet, peace be upon him. It's given to our prophet. But it don't belong to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It belongs to you, and it belongs to me. That's who it was revealed for. It came through our prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It was the spark that Allah found that in him to place that that insight, that inspiration in him. Place that in him. But look how beautiful it was. It not only placed that in that inspiration in our prophet Muhammad, but in him to a point where he would say what it is that he received from the angel Jibril. He would say it. He said, "Oh, I just received the revelation." Well, what was it? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik yawm ad-din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And it was like, wow, yo, that was really poetic. You know, I could hear the rhythm in that. I gotta learn that. I gotta learn that. What does it mean? You know, well, it means, you know, with God's assistance, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, the Lord of all systems of knowledge, the most gracious, the most compassionate master of the day of judgment. Worship and mission. Seek for help. Show us the straight way. Show us the way. Not only, you know, just a way, but show us the straight way, the way of those on whom I have bestowed your grace, and not the way of those on whom your wrath is brought down, nor the way of those who go astray. And it was like, oh, that is so deep. I got to learn that. I got to learn it. I got to say that over and over again. Of course, man, there's so much power and meaning in that. And maybe, you know, it will make me, maybe it will spark something. But it was done in such a poetic way that it was easy to learn in the Arabic language for the Arabic people. And they were able to memorize the whole Quran because it was so poetic and it had such a wonderful rhythm to it that now we have hafizes that know the whole of the Quran. So it's really not the book. It's really not the book. Yeah, well, let me turn to the Quran and see what it says. Let me get the Quran off the shelf and see what it says. Let me have the Quran by Yusuf Ali's translation. No, let me get the clear Quran. No, let me get the Quran by Maulana Muhammad Ali. Let me get the book, and let me show it to you in the book. Can you show it to me through the inspiration? What has this inspiration done? What has this inspiration done for you? That because the inspiration is for all human beings. I mean, isn't that right? It says in the very beginning of the Quran, it says, this is the book, and it is guidance, sure. But it should be, this is the inspiration. In it is guidance, sure, for those who believe, are steadfast in prayer, and spend out of that which we have given them. So it was given through our Prophet Muhammad, but, you know, Prophet Muhammad received it as a message for all mankind. But in many of our translations, well, you know, the Prophet said, well, it was the Prophet. No, brother, but how is it inspiring here? How is it inspiring us? We know how it inspired Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad. We witnessed that. We know how it inspired Abu Qadir al-Amin. We can see how it's inspiring Imam Yahya Abdullah. We can see how it's inspiring others. We can see how it's inspiring Martha Nyla Williams. We can see how it's inspiring other Muslims in our families who are doing wonderful things. We can see how it's inspiring the sister who does study al-Islam. We can see how it inspired Benjamin Mushir Bilal. We can see that it was an inspiration and it wound up being a benefit for us all. All praise is due to Allah, the Guardian Evolver. So let us be inspired. Let us be inspired by that spark. Let us be inspired by that spark, you know, to get up and do something. Let us be inspired by that spark that inspired Moses' mother to throw her baby in the water. You know, can you imagine? Throw your baby in the water in a basket. What? The heck is telling me to do that? Throw the baby in the water. Throw the baby, put the baby in the basket and throw him in the water. Because if you don't, then, you know, like the king's going to come around and he's going to kill him. Well, you know, okay, throw the baby. He threw the baby in the water. But what happened? She threw the baby in the water. The queen saw the baby running down the aisle, floating down the aisle, picked up the baby that she threw in the water and said, let me keep him. Did the mother know that? No, she was inspired. And because of that inspiration, you know, she was able, her son winded up being a benefit to the house of Pharaoh. And, I mean, it took a lot off her heart. And that's what the Quran says. But that's what the Quran says about that situation. That she was inspired to put baby in order, and when she did, that the queen took her up, and she was able to be, and the Quran tells us that she was able to be reunited with her child that she had. And that's our challenge, really. Our challenge is, will we follow the spark? Will we follow the spark? It sounds a little crazy. So you're telling me that I should pick up the broom and go sweep outside in front of the house and then sweep in front of my neighbor's house. Yeah, you know, they're going to think I'm crazy.
You're
sitting on
now,
the train.
Now, you've ignited and the time is here for Michael Hameen.
Okay.
Did I press open your mic, Michael? Did I? No, okay. Let me open his mic. As-salamu alaykum, Michael.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. I really appreciate you both sharing on this. The focus and topic appears to me to be memory, you know, memory and how during this 21st century, memory seems to be the focus. God tells us, Allah Most High tells us, that He created us as human beings, and we're forgetful and we're hasty. But we're seeing a lot of attention through the media being given to the loss of memory, you know, through dementia and Alzheimer's. And, you know, we're told about memory in the Quran, you know, that there's a book that has everything about our life from beginning to the end, where we return to Allah. And there's a book that will account for us, you know, to our benefit or to our loss on the day of standing, the day of religion, you know, and prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he was concerned for us to remember correctly. His concern was that we as followers would have our mind too directed to transitioning from this life and going to the paradise or the garden or the heaven. And his concern was that we would not see the benefit of the creation of an improved life, a heavenly life on this earth, so to speak, you know, because of our actions and our thinking in terms of making today better than yesterday. And lastly, I'd just like to say, but I'm really moved to say this to William. I wasn't able to listen to all of the program of A New Day for Al-Islam in America. But what I heard really, wow, it got my attention in the way that the guest was stating how he felt, his feelings, and how you handled it. It was disturbing to me, but I remembered back to a time during the Nation of Islam, and I stayed in what they call the FOI house, a number of single brothers who were paying to stay in the you could call it a boarding house, so to speak.
I was at the FOI house. Where was your FOI house at?
This was in Washington, D.C. There were two of them.
I was in one in New York.
Yes, sir. Well, I thank a lot for that experience. But what I experienced there, I had like a flashback because of the language of your guests. I don't like to call these guys brothers. That just kind of bothers me to call someone who's insane and whose image and representation of the religion of Al-Islam is a harm, is hurtful. And this guy, he had gone to Vietnam, but he wasn't on the front line. But he picked up the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, and he would express venomously his hatred for Caucasian people, you know, and wanting to see the babies die and all this kind of stuff. And that's what I had a flashback listening to your guest this morning, and I appreciate the way you handled him, you know, the invitation that you gave him to come to some sensibility, you know, and I'll stop there.
Yeah, just to say something about that, that is our responsibility as Muslims, the way that I've come to understand it, because and that's what Al-Islam has done for people throughout the ages. That, you know, we live in, you know, Sister Martha gave an analogy this morning about the fingernails, and that the fingernails growing and the cutting of the fingernails. But that's, you don't need a book. You don't need to study medicine to understand that, because that's something, it's a human condition. And people going crazy is a human condition too.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, you know, so Islam came to correct, you know, put some correction in the thinking that says instead of thinking wrong about it, here's the right way to think about it. And that's all that was being done when I was talking to the brother.
Yeah.
Because his whole idea was, you know, let's just blow up everybody in the parade. let's make one of the balloons bust so the people get hurt. And so that's not a good way to look at it. There's another way to look at that. Another way to look at it. And so that's what, you know, Islam has continuously done throughout the ages. And even today, in this day and time, we got a lot of crazy people in America. But what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to point them to the right, to right thinking. Maybe they'll get it. Maybe they won't.
Because
Allah gives us the responsibility and says what? You know, your responsibility is just to deliver the message clear.
That's right. And I found during Ramadan, coming out of Ramadan, the impactful nature of Allah's language and the great respect he has for the human being, the human family, For years, I've been reading, you know, where God says he finds distasteful, and he asks the question, why do you say what you don't do? And it was like an aha moment, and I said, wait a minute. When the language and the actions contradict one another, that's hypocrisy. Mm. I said, oh, Lord, thank you. You know? And I just wanted to make that comment, but in terms of the craziness, go ahead.
Let me ask you, Michael, do you have buses and trains in your area?
Yes, sir.
So there is something that happens in New York on buses and trains. And what happens on buses and trains is that men be sitting down on the buses and trains and see a woman, sometime an old woman, an old man, a person with a lot of bags, a person with a child, you know, on their arms. And rather than get up to let the person sit down, they'll just sit there in the seat. Then why is that?
Problem with that.
Yeah, but now what about the person that is inspired and motivated in spite of everybody not getting up, that they are inspired and motivated to stand up and say, here, come sit in here. That's the inspiration and the insight. That's it. That something simple like that is the inspiration that the human being has. Because many of those people don't get up because they say, well, I ain't giving up my seat. Well, ain't nobody else giving up theirs. Well, I'm going to sit in my seat too. But there's one person that sparked saying it's not right that this old person is standing up. I'm going to get up and give him my seat. It's not right that this woman with a baby is there. I'm going to give up and give him my seat. And that's something that we see every day in our life.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And for me, this idea of memory, how our memory operates, and you have to have some type of feeling attachment, some type of emotion attached to hold on to memory, as I understand the makeup of the human brain, you know, that memory is connected with emotion or feelings, you know, in order to hold on, you know, and make that be kind of like adhering, you know, like the child adhering to the developing of a child in the mother's body adhering to the uterus. You know, that's that the brain operates on that fashion in terms of how feeling attaches memory to the thinking process, to the akal. And I'll stop there. Alhamdulillah.
Well, you know, the idea of, when I was teaching the Clara Muhammad School with Principal Sharifa Dye in the Clara Muhammad School in Queens, there was, and this was before teaching through the internet and through tablets and things like that was concerned. There was something that educators used, and they called it learning. Is that right? Is that what it is? Root learning, where, you know, there's a connection between the memory, learning by memory, learning between the pencil and the paper. And you know, repeating the same thing over and over and over again, that was the way that we were taught. And now, because of the advancement of technology,
many times we don't even have memory as much, I guess. That's what the situation is. But in Islam, memory winds up being important because it winds up being important as far as memorization is concerned of the prayer and doing that over and over again, that prayer. And I'm sure that there are times when you talk about memory and feeling that there comes a time when we make the prayer that there's a wonderful feeling that we really appreciate and have, you know, a lot of feeling and emotional expression in the prayer. And it might not happen all the time, but there are times that it does happen, and it kind of confirms.
I'm looking at the definition of what you're talking about, which used to be called learning by rote, the mechanical or habitual repetition of something to be learned. And you find that also in sports, what they call the muscle memory. You know, you do something repeatedly. You do it over and over again. And it's very much a focus of Al-Islam, you know. I was thinking just this afternoon about this lie that the devil puts out there in the society about unconditional love, where for us, our foundation in thinking shows us that nothing is unconditional. You know, everything has conditions, you know, and the life that God wants for us has conditions, the successful life. And the life that is unsuccessful, there's certain requirements for that as well, a repetition of certain behavior and thinking and behavior, you know. And what does this say? It's dealing with without thinking, unthinkingly. This is that rote, R-O-T-E, mindlessness, from memory, by heart. Now, that's another connection, learning by heart. So, I really appreciate this conversation that you started, Sister Martha, and I love the way you started with the Quranic foundation, you know, and it's so important, you know, so important that this foundation be a part of our language environment, you know, and these conversations are creating an environment for not only us, but also for those who are listening. And some of them may press one to come into the conversation, but even their silent energy, you know, lending to the environment of what is this? I want to say reading is fundamental.
That's very inspiring. Reading is fundamental.
The developmental focus. I'm sorry, I don't have the program in front of me.
Community
but,
developmental stages.
There we are. Community. That's a big word. And there's so many. You were talking about what was it? The short-term memory. The short-term.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was referencing, as I said, we can pull from our long-term memory. I mean, it's readily accessible. But when we go for our short-term memory, and I was asking the question, why is it that we forget certain things? And then it hit me, because we wear our short-term memory out.
Well, not only we, but the environment. You know, one of the devil's plans in terms of the cultural life, the social environment, is the, you know, what they call it, information overload. You know, there's so much stuff put out there, you know.
And going back to the heart, we let our heart take in unnecessary information. The cells, as I was studying the cells, I'm going, why am I studying this? I mean, I'm in the medical field, but studying the RNA
and the DNA and the mitoblasts and all the other in that cell. Well, the main thing is the perimeter that is a defense. And should something get beyond that out of perimeter, there's another defense in all of our cells. The mitochondria, those are floating around. I say floating, but everything has duty, its responsibility. So in our thinking, certain information that's not even conducive to where my love, my appreciation, my intention, like I have an intent, let's just say a gardener. But someone comes to me and they have all this energy and they want to share with me about, I don't know, rodeo, learning rodeo. That is not conducive to me as a gardener. But out of maybe some sentimental reason, I may, okay, listen to them. What is that doing to my memory, the space and that I need to put more information in about gardening and my appreciation for it, to say we have to, what's the word when we say that we prioritize? Okay, I don't want to just say we're prioritizing, but we have to be able to help others adjust their thinking and connect with mutual persons that have that kind of rodeo. Oh, maybe you'll be better off talking with somebody who loves doing roping. I don't know, who horseback riding. Those things have a connection. But gardening, then I will connect with a farmer, a nutritionist. All of that will be conducive to that. And with CWSC, with the 50-year human family strategic planning and understanding Amarhum Shurabainahum, and the connection between those individuals who have the like thinking. We say it, but many times I believe that we tire ourselves out because we give our energies to information that is not conducive to where we're headed.
And what is the meaning of Amarhum Shurabainahum?
Oh, thank you.
Sure,
mutual. Yes, mutual consultation. Having a connection with like-minded interests and with the capability to find solutions to situations.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And this has really been, this is going to continue, inshallah. Now anyone coming to Year Human Family Strategic Planning, what does it mean to be human, faith and family, under that cleanliness, the purification process that we have to go through to understand ourselves. As we go through Ramadan, there's still another product. We have 3 more months, and I'm saying 3 more months, before we get to the first month of Muharram, where we really connect with those things that are forbidden or those things that are not necessary. But here we're going through Shawwal, Dhulqa'dah, Dhulhijjah. And Dhulhijjah is where we're really transforming ourselves, really submitting the human being. And so it's not necessarily just those who travel physically to Mecca, but we all are on Hajj. We all are bearing some difficulties to the point that we're wanting to make it to humble ourselves to Almighty God entirely. And it's a Hajj. So this preparation right here in the month of Shawwal, it's coming out from Ramadan, it is all part of it, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. I noticed years ago in looking at the Arabic English dictionary, the month called Shawwal and the behavior called Shawir have the same letters.
Mm-hmm.
One is Shah, Fatah, Wild, and
uh-huh.
the other, the behavior. The behavior is Shawil with the Kesra. And the behavior, I love to connect it with the Nation of Islam. We used to have the saying about being fast-moving, quick-thinking, right down to the modern time. And that's the kind of that's the kind of meaning that Shawil has, that we come out of Ramadan, and the first day of Shawil is the Eid, where we celebrate. And we remember, you know, we remember the fast as we get ready to go into the new month. And then we, you know, you mentioned Muharram, but you'd also mentioned the latter month of Hajj and how that is inspiring to our social memory, you know, and our social connection. And there's a lot there that many that have gone on Hajj many times, many miss. Or if they didn't miss it, they don't share it, you know, because the sharing of the idea of following the footsteps of a woman who was told by her husband that, yes, God said for me to leave you in the desert. Can you imagine?
I apologize.
Go ahead.
Just like when you were saying about the basket, the basket, and we know it has, it's a, but just look at the literal basket, baby, put in the water, and trust, faith, have
yes.
faith in the create, not water, but water was eventually in the picture.
Yes. It is so much there. You know, and previous scripture gives us a broader context to how Hajar became Ibrahim's second wife. The Pharaoh, she was a leader's daughter. She was of the royal and upper class connections. And Pharaoh, the leader, had an interest in Abraham's wife. Now, this is Bible. This is not Quran. And then it tells you about how Abraham, to protect that relationship and not get himself in trouble with the leader, he identifies Sarah as his sister and not his wife. Sarah is my sister. And then it goes on, but you know, the gift of Hajar to Sarah as a servant girl, and then it goes on into the desert. But there's so many connections there. One is that the bitter conditions that she experienced with her faith and finding the water and knowing the environment. Now, this is before Mecca. This is even before Becca. You know, Mecca was called Becca at one time. But this was just a place in the desert where water was found. You know, at the time Hajar found the water, there was no Becca or Mecca. And, oh, boy, the imagination. And then after imagining, trying to relate to our personal life, these connections. One that I found is that I found that it's been thousands of years since the African has gotten his and her due respect from the other people to the world, and even to the point where they identify alien presence to speak about the technology of Egypt and pyramids and other places. You know, they want to attribute it to aliens rather than to a human family with dark skin, broad nose, and thick lips. And I think that's part of part of the missing of the message of Had You on Hodge is because of that, in my opinion.
And two, any individual hearing this right now may say, well, we will never be on a desert. Think again. You could be in a crowd of people and you are on a desert because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is the creator, will put us on a desert where we will not, we won't feel the connection of everyone. We won't feel the, we will, even to the point of having a lot of money and things, luxuries around us, and we're without the water, but before the water, the faith has to be in existence. Before the quenching of a thirst, as we go through Ramadan, we're like on a desert.
Yes.
But we have to have that faith present first. We have to, we actually have to step into not having and
yes.
feel it and not give into it.
I hear you, sister.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, yes. Praise be to Allah. Yes, everyone, we are, well, I guess it's like, everyone will have, inshallah, God willing, everyone will have a taste. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references in Quran. Everyone will have, we will have a taste of death, but we also have an of this life. So
yeah.
Praise be to Almighty God as we're experiencing it. Don't let it just become a passing fad. Back to our memory.
Yeah.
Don't let it be a passing fad. Relish it and ask Almighty God to show us the importance of it. Because when we reflect, if I've seen a tree before, now you ask me about a tree, it's going to enter my mind and the image is there, but I'm going to also think about its usefulness.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
right.
Michael, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that's right. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, and the meaning, being able to connect ourselves, is seeing ourselves in the Quran. And, the Ramadan represents a rebirth of being born again. You know, we're born again Muslims, our faith has been refreshed, renewed, our focus in terms of doing what Allah says do. Our focus in terms of coming into our assignment, seeing our assignment in terms of serving God's will and plan, seeing that clearer or coming a step closer to understanding what our assignment is in terms of why we're here, And I used to be around some kind of thick-skinned brothers, and it was like one brother used to say, and I'm not going to use the word for respect. Sometimes I use it for effect, but I'm going to say, if a Negro don't want to live like this, he deserves to die, And that was one expression from one of my paper-selling brothers, and another in terms of this way of life that we've been given. It is said by the guidance of God and the prophet that he who rejects the faith, the way of life of Abraham, makes themselves foolish, That's a higher, more edified expression coming from God and his prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, I'm going to stop there. Alhamdulillah. And I thank both of you, Brother William and Sister Martha. Thank you both, you and William. Alhamdulillah.
And thank you. And Kareem started off connecting with our memory.
Yeah, I heard some of that.
Alhamdulillah. Well, everyone, I can't help. I'm going to say this in this way. You know, now I understand the benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with to come through the spirituals and what we call the gospels. The spiritual, because as you were saying about the connection with the uterus and the clinging to the uterine wall and the connection of the human being in its development.
Yes, the memory.
To be nurtured. Yes, yes. So it is going through that clinging thing. And so that's what happens when we hear the gospel. It was a reservoir for those who were another step from those who were enslaved. But see, to understand it, you have to have gone through an experience of enslavement. Now, not the necessary enslavement process here that transpired in America, but an experience of some kind of enslavement where you just, no, you hear the word no. No, you cannot have that. No, you get, so your mind gets enslaved because now you're this person, this system, whatever it is bigger than you at the moment, and it's telling you no. So you really are powerless. That's the enslavement. And how do you get out from under it?
Well you think you are powerless.
Go ahead, say it again.
Say again.
Or you think you're powerless. The system makes you that, and that's what Shaitan does. Shaitan
exactly.
Says you're powerless. You do it. Yeah.
Exactly. Alhamdulillah. And this is where I was going to go with the go around. You know, you go around it and you see, oh, the door was unlocked all along.
Wow.
I thought the door was locked. And it was made to appear as though it was locked and made me think it was locked, and I couldn't challenge it. I couldn't go beyond it. But here's where background with the Baptist, and I can deal with it now because I don't have that lingering, quote-unquote, Jesus effect. And everyone, I'm talking about the Jesus, that the image that we were given. Not the word from Almighty God.
White Jesus. White Jesus.
That white Jesus, yes. So now when I hear, we've come this far by faith, oh, what that does to me now.
You see it? Yes.
Leaning on, and I say leaning on God's word.
Yes.
Trusting in
and
his
will
the holy word. Ah.
Go ahead, Bree.
I will say this, that I make prayers for my reverend and his wife, and the music teacher, because they were the ones who put me on the path of religion. And there was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus holding his heart open, you know, with that sad look. You know,
yeah.
That's what Jesus was, you know.
Yeah.
You know, every Sunday, I would go to Sunday school, and they had these cards, and they would give me the cards, and they had the cards and would give up, brief introductions to who Adam was, who Noah was, who Moses was, who Jesus was, who Lot was. So, and the way that Mrs. Young, her name was Mrs. Young, the way that she presented it to us in Sunday school was with such a soft voice. Soft, it was just a sincerity that came from her voice. And you know, we took in what she was saying. And all of these cards had all Caucasian images on them. All Caucasian images on them. But the way that she delivered it, you know, and, you know, we would come back to Sunday school every Sunday. We come back, my brother and I, we would put on our white shirts and ties and our suits. We'd go downstairs to church, to the Sunday school.
And Miss Singleton, you know, she was the music director. And, you know, there was a song called Shine. And it said, when the clouds are hanging low, shine, shine. Though you know not where to go, shine for Jesus. Though the way is hard and long, never change from right to wrong. Then you pray every day, shine, shine, shine. Shine when friends forsake you, shine. When others fail you all the way, every day. There's a cloud of waiting, shine. When faults assail you, shine. When others fail you, keep your eyes on Jesus. And shine, shine, shine. Now, the majority of that message in that song is powerful. It's part of my memory. As you see,
how many years ago?
Let me see. It was over 60 years ago.
My.
Over 60 years ago. So when I came to Islam in 1972 and picked up the Quran, I already knew about all those prophets.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah. This book has those prophets in it? Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And, you know, Bob, I don't know what you think about Bobby Womack. I'm talking to the audience. Whatever you think about Bobby Womack say, you got to go through it to get to it. And you
there you go.
You pick out what the it is for you.
See, so now our memory is really contributing to our development.
I've been waiting on this hand to go up, Martha.
Which hand?
914.
Oh, we made it through for him, right? Open his mic for me, please.
I've been waiting on him. Okay. Come on in, Carlos. State your name and where you're calling from.
Muhammad Sharif calling out from New York.
Assalamu alaikum. Oh, yeah.
Get a little closer to your mic, Muhammad.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Can you hear? Okay, I can hear.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say reference to the Muslim Journal call on Sunday morning. Had a number.
Oh, yeah.
Needed.
Share it with all.
605-475-4000.
And what is this number?
605-475-4000.
And what is
access
this number, code, Mom?
Access code 302-268.
302-268.
Yeah.
And what is this number?
It's the Muslim Journal Weekly Call.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yeah,
every
like
Sunday at 12 noon.
Okay, good.
Right.
12. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask was concerning the Zoom Credit Union call. When is that and what time?
That's every Sunday at 10 a.m. So for those who are on with Study Al-Islam, I rotate at times because the Zoom for Study Al-Islam is available during the week, I mean, after they've presented on their Sunday. And then Graceline, though, that is not. So there's a Zoom call, and this, like I say, 10 a.m., I can give you a phone number, take you to their Zoom meeting.
All right.
Okay.
Hold 1 second to see Grace Line. I mean, they have been dutifully meeting every week,
mm-hmm.
focusing on the tasks of what it takes to form a credit union. Okay, so the phone, a phone, useful phone number, let's see if this is in Houston, Texas. That would be Tacoma. That, okay, you're closer to the Houston number. It will be 346-248-7799. Again, it's 346-248-7799. Now, I do have they usually ask for a passcode, and the mm-hmm. passcode, they'll say if you have it, you can put it in, but if you don't have it, just press pound. So I suggest, rather than me give you this long passcode number, just press pound, and it will then ask you for the PIN. And the PIN is 705-199-pound. Actually, it shows a star before the 705. I don't know if that's pertinent. But if it doesn't go through at 705-199-pound and they will say it's wrong, then put a star first and then 705-199.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We'll got it. Thank you.
So, you're welcome. Yes. And they entertain callers or visitors at the first part of their meeting, and then when they get into their other meetings, of course, they excuse everyone that's not part of the board.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I see why I've been missing this call, because the City Al-Azam comes on at 10 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But just to go through the doorway at 10 a.m., introduce yourself, say, and then you can go over to Study Al-Azam. But at least you're making a connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, and then they'll get your email as well, or I can send you that information. I have it right here mm-hmm. from your email. I can email it to you, Muhammad, as I know, and then you can have it for Zoom. Sometimes I'm on the phone with Study Al-Islam, and I'm on Zoom with Grace Lam. So you can mm-hmm. do it either way you have that capability.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm forwarding it to you,
mm-hmm.
Muhammad. Thank you so much for your dutifulness.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And we need
quite
to talk
welcome.
More about true detergent and other things, but we'll put that aside. I want to, when we get in the month of August for our, what do you call it, Founders Week that is included in the month of August, we definitely want to talk more about the economics, inshallah, maybe in July, but I'll check with Imam Wali Ayub Bilal before I
mm-hmm.
say that. All right?
All right. Mm-hmm. Good. And thank you for your support
mm-hmm.
of CWSC, AM 360, and your product, RAIN International product.
International. Yes.
So we appreciate you and your connection, in your business public service announcement with the 50-year human family plan. Appreciate you for all of that.
I mean,
thank you. We got another caller.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mom.
Okay, you're quite welcome.
Okay, I sure will. All right.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. All right, Michael, you'll bring them in?
Yes. Imam Kareem.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Praise be to Allah. William went back in his life as a small child, and his connection with going to a church, and you know, Allah says they didn't differ till knowledge came to them. I remember as a small boy, the neighborhood that I lived in, if we say, uh-oh, you did that, the boogerman gonna get you. Oh, boy. I mean, fear would come over us, and we would straighten up because we didn't want the boogerman to get us. We feared the boogerman almost as much as we, well, as we did our parents. Now, we know a boogerman is a myth. But it worked. My father, it was late one night, and we heard a lot of commotion going on in the kitchen. And my father was calling our names to come in the kitchen. And it was dark. And he was standing at the back door. And he had a belt in his hand. And he was swinging that belt. And he was saying, no, you can't have my children. Get out of here, booger man. Get away from here. You can't have my children. Boy, our eyes got big. Daddy fighting the booger man. My father told us, yeah, the booger man had come to get y'all because you've been so bad. Oh, we cried. Oh, Dad, Daddy beat the booger man. Oh, the booger man come to get us.
Good God Almighty.
But this is a psychology. What do these children fear now? Nothing. Let me say that again. What do these children fear now? Nothing. But that myth was enough to somewhat keep us in line, make us watch our behavior. Watch what we don't lie. Oh, you told a lie. The booger man gonna get you. So some of what we were given, we laugh at now. Oh, because we've come into great knowledge. We're very smart now. We know that that was a lie. But look at the social behavior.
Yes.
A man mentioned the power of myth. A myth. Rome began with a myth. No one knows there be beginning, so somebody came up with a myth, and that inspired the Roman people. It was just a myth. But I'm only saying that our children don't fear nothing no more. Nothing. Nothing. We didn't disrespect our parents because they would put some heat on your butt. But at the same time, the booger man gonna get you. I just wanted to share that. Maybe we can reflect on that for a moment. Think about
that. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. And I love the way you prefaced it with they did not, however you said, until knowledge came.
They did not differ among themselves.
Differ, yes.
Until knowledge came to them. So praise be to Allah. But now we know with the knowledge that we have that there is no booger man, but there is a Satan. In human form. in human form. And he won't get us. No, no. The only way he gets us is that we join his type of behavior and his type of thinking.
Uh-huh.
But we really believe the boogerman will come to our house and grab us and take us down in the ground where it was nothing but flames and pain. And he was portrayed as ugly. He had horns. He was red. Had a tail with a fart tail and a long fart that he would throw people into the hellfire. We believe that.
Yeah.
And that, and he's that helped to keep double. Us. That helped to keep us in line. What are we telling our children now?
We'll call
I'll
it HRS.
Right.
Well, that I'm going to call HRS.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately.
Right. So everything that happened back there, although it was not true, you know, our parents didn't have the knowledge that we have now. But we were a much better people. We were a much better people. And
yeah.
And I believe that that was a psychology that worked at that time. It won't work now, but it worked at that time. Fear is a motivator. Fear is a deterrent. What do our children fear now? I'll stop right there. Just putting something on our minds. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Thank you. Assalam. Well, praise be to Allah for every ounce of it. Because these are our presentations are archived, and whatever is helpful, someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them to listen, go to American Muslim 360 and go through the archive for yourself and see how it resonates with you. The human, the true human that is in all of us. Praise be to Almighty God. Well, dear listeners, well, you heard the voice of Kareem Hamid, who will be the host for tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. And then DeLacy Umar Phillips, along with the Professor Rabbani Muhammad as a recurring guest, and then our host and engineer, Michael Hameen. Michael, you saw I hesitated, didn't I? That's 7. That's 9:30 to 11. And then you've heard the voice of William Kareem, who will be on at 11 a.m. to connect with Culture Insights with AM 360 and A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio from 11 to 12, and then 12 to 1, Kivel Equan, William's son, who brings you don't want to miss quick hitters. Get to understand what it's about. You off guard somewhat, some part of it, I don't know. But once you get into it and understand, open the mind and connect, alhamdulillah, you'll understand. So he's very, very well-oriented to presenting information, useful information. And then 5 to 7 p.m., the Preeta Abdul Hadi coming with Al-Islam in Focus. And that will render it for the evening, for the full day of Saturday, the third Saturday of the month. We thank you, dear listeners. You could have been anywhere else, doing anything else, doing something else, but we thank Allah for all of that. You highly glorified is Allah, that you chose to be right here on American Muslim 360, starting with community developmental stages and including community buzz. Have you heard? Everything is important. Praise be to Allah. Certain things just have to be put into their particular areas in order for it to be made useful. And so with that, we're going to go out with our music. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, William. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Kareem. And then to all of our listeners, We've benefited from your being here, just feeling your presence. And we thank Almighty God, Most High, for allowing us this time, and all the time before now, and any time after now that we will be blessed with, and all the connections that we will make, whatever Allah SWT deems all of us, each of us in our own arena of thought and action. I mean, okay, so if we have time, let's see. I think we do have a little more grace period time here to share humanity, and then we've got to be thankful. Humanity is everybody's business. If we don't think so, get into a tight and wait for someone to come along to help when you pass everyone else by. Because the you and all of us did not see the importance of helping someone in need. Abdul Wali Shaheed.
Your life, and all the things he's given you that makes your life, for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for less and more. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life, for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Everything that Allah SWT has afforded us, we've got to be thankful. Assalamu alaikum.